Hello and welcome to another episode of Monday Mile, your walk and talk podcast, your source of moving motivation. My name's Amy Fuller and today's guest has held the Glitterball Trophy high. She's a world champion.
Twice.
She's an environmentalist. She's a two-time world champion. Get that in there, Katya. Oh, I've just given it away.
Oh, damn it.
She is your favourite Russian dancer. It is Katya Jones.
Oh, hello.
Welcome to Monday Mile.
Oh, thank you. Are we actually walking a mile, by the way?
We are.
Have you got your measuring tape?
No, see, by this stage now, I know how far a mile is. I feel the vibe.
Perfect.
By the way, you are the first guest. Claim it right here in season two.
This is season two, so you must know what you do. Okay, I trust you. I just follow you.
Where are we today?
Well, we are in Old Street. And it's really funny because I dragged you here,
yes,
thinking that's the location I need to be in, only to find out it's completely the wrong location. So
now we're walking away from there towards Hyde Park because you've got a spa day to get to.
Well, it's a Russian spa.
Ooh, mm-hmm. What's a Russian spa? So,
this is actually really interesting. You should try. You love all the trying new things,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, love it.
So Russian spa, it's like a steam room.
Yeah.
Not a steam room, like a sauna.
Yeah.
However, what we do is we get birch tree stems.
Yeah.
And they like bunch them together and they soak them in water, especially to make them softer. And then as you like get hot in the sauna,
yeah,
they sort of slap you with it.
It sounds like some sort of torture chamber.
It's so good for your skin, for the detoxification. And it kind of builds the heat around your body.
Oh, wow.
And then you're supposed to jump in the snow.
Right, but of course, we're in London. The weather's horrific. We don't have snow or sun.
Well, it's probably going to be like a cold pool or something
nice.
Like that.
Nice.
And then we're going to eat traditional Russian food.
Amazing.
It's really nice. It's a bit of home here in London.
Nice. Sounds like a lovely afternoon.
I'll invite you one time. Yeah.
One time, maybe. So let's throw it right back to the start.
Mm.
Where did the dancing begin for you?
Well, so you've got to picture this.
Okay.
You're in Russia.
Right.
Russian kids literally are thrown to do everything. Yeah,
okay.
So after school activities,
yep,
it's like as soon as you finish school, you've got singing. I had piano, I did gymnastics, I did extra sort of like crafts and maths.
Wow.
What else did they? Painting and dancing. Ballroom dancing is almost part of curriculum. It's really popular actually in Russia. So I was doing all of these things.
There's a lot of moving parts there.
Yeah. This, I don't know, it's kind of, I think it's good because it gives you that chance to try everything and
yeah,
find what you're sort of good at. So the last two that I ended up with was piano.
Wow.
Which I still play, and dancing. You know, it was really natural. Like, I don't know about you, how you kind of got in, but like, it was just natural. I felt like I was enjoying it as well as improving. And like all the teachers were saying, oh, I think, you know, she's got something. And my mum loved dressing me up in all the dresses. She used to make them for myself. We had lots of fights over my makeup and hair, you know. Mum, why didn't you do that? And the funny thing, she looks back at the photos and she goes, why did I do that to you? I know, Mum. I told you. So I started dancing at the age of six and a half.
It's quite young, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how, like, that process of doing all of those things as a Russian kid, how did you find your way to the Strictly dance floor? Because I'm sure there was quite the process.
Yeah, it was. And the nice thing is, I loved the whole journey because I love dancing and the result was sort of coming also through hard work. Like,
yeah,
I love hard work and I guess it's been installed in me, again, a bit of Russian discipline there. As I was getting older, I realized that that's what I want to do and or dedicate more time to it at least.
Yeah.
And then I started looking for a partner. I was searching for a partner, and one of the options was here to come to England, dance with Neil.
No way!
Yeah, and we had a trial. It's like a weird thing in ballroom dancing. You kind of come to this place, like to studio, and you can have like three different boys, and you try different partnerships and see if they work out. Yeah, it's like going shopping. It's
amazing.
So cool.
I want to do this.
Yeah, right? You're like this
shopping,
one.
Shopping
for dance partners.
A dance partner. And maybe a husband. Yeah. I mean, if that's part of the package, sign me up. I've got my trolley out.
That's a good thing with dancing. You're actually in couples. So there's more chances. Not like you're doing your solo, right?
Yeah. That's crazy. So you've always been a part of like a dance couple, and yeah, still now to this day.
Absolutely. So that's the thing. Like, once you take that professional journey of a ballroom dancer, yeah, you literally stuck with that person.
No way.
Yeah, because you travel around the world together, and it's expensive. Ballroom dancing is really, really expensive. Yeah, lessons, shoes, dresses, traveling, you have to pay everything yourself. So you try to save money everywhere. So you like stay in the same room. Like, there's no luxury of like, oh, I'm going to have my own room. You know, no. You share a bed.
Like, right, it's straight in. Like, you're with this person.
Exactly. Dance, 24/7.
Dance, eat, sleep, repeat on the daily.
And in a different country as well, which is not my home, you know?
Yeah.
So it's really, really intense in that sense. So at the age of 18, I moved here, started dancing with Neil. And that's it. And me and him just went on this crazy success journey. Like, people said, or our teachers said, people either gonna love you or hate you because you two are crazy as each other. Like, you got ginger and Asian, Russian, like it's just a wild combination. We were like really creative, so they said they're either gonna love you or hate you. And
wow,
but it worked out, you know. And yeah,
so cool. So 2016 you joined the Strictly family. It's like an instant shot into stardom.
And nobody prepares you for any of that.
And then you've got these perceived perceptions of who you are and what you do. How have you dealt with that really quick transition?
Do you know what? I love the fact that you touched on that, because especially with such a big show, Strictly Come Dancing.
It is a beast.
It's a beast.
It's got to be one of the biggest
Saturday,
Sunday night shows.
I think every year it beats like all the viewing ratings and everything, which is an absolute privilege, by the way.
Yeah.
And for me personally, the fact that ballroom dancing, not even just dancing in general or any sport, such a niche thing as ballroom dancing has become part of British culture. Like, to me, it's just wild. And I love that. You know, I love that it's people admire it, they want to know about it. Like, I absolutely love it.
The fact it's your thing and it's what you do and it's the main staple of British television, that's got to be a pretty special feeling.
Very, very special. Very special. And then it comes with things like being pigeonholed as just a dancer.
Right.
And
then this is where you have octopus legs. Quite literally, I've seen them. wake surfing.
Yeah, you this are, is when we first met.
You are ridiculously flexible. I don't think I've ever seen anyone's legs bend so much, but we got there.
Yeah, we got there.
We got up wake surfing and you crushed it. But there is so much more to you than dancing. You're an ambassador for National Numeracy.
Numeracy, yeah.
That's got to be pretty cool, intertwining dance and your passion for
maths and numbers. And also, I'm a sustainable activist, I'd like to say. There's a lot more angles to me, I guess, that a lot of people don't know. And a lot of the time, people don't want to know.
Why? Yeah. Why though? Why do you think that is?
You know, I will never reject that side of me that gave me that platform, Strictly, and being a dancer, of course, at its core, that's what's given me the platform, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess, well, let's be honest, media plays a massive part in that.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, what people see as headlines, often they don't look further into it.
And how do you deal with some of those headlines that have been written. You know, it is a show that draws a lot of attention to you. Obviously, before this podcast, I've gone and done my research. And, you know, there's all sorts written about you. And I've experienced it on a small scale through my sport. Mm-hmm. But you are in the public eye. And how do you deal with sometimes reading things that me, having known you for a few weeks,
only 2 weeks.
I know that that's just not true.
And you know what I love is, for example, me and you met, yeah? And you just met the person, this girl called Katia. You've created your own sort of opinion of me, yeah? Which is probably more realistic because you met me on a casual level, surfing, you know?
I saw you in my environment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and where I'm just like, yeah, I'm going to give it a go. Then you invited me to football. I was like, yeah, I'm there. I don't even know what I'm doing, but I'm there.
We found ourselves on a football pitch.
Oh,
if only we had a ball.
Where's the ball? Yeah.
We both need to practice a little bit on that.
Sorry. But yeah, so I love that fact that I just stay true to myself. That's how I deal with things.
Nice.
And it's quite funny because I don't ever like read all these things, and friends would call me or text me like, you okay? Like, we heard this or we read that. Like, what are you going
You're
on
like,
about?
Yeah, I am in one piece. I didn't go out and get absolutely bat-faced last night. I might have had a few drinks.
Yeah.
But I'm still standing, girlfriend.
So I just realised that all these things, like, this is not my reality.
Yeah.
It does not define me. It does not affect my everyday living unless I allow it to.
Yeah.
So I just don't. I just carry on living. And I think the best way with dealing with it is by sort of sticking to your beliefs and doing good things.
Or sticking to your guns.
And just being good at my job. Like, I know I'm going to do my job to the top of my ability. I'm going to wake up and do good things, the things that I've planned. And that's what's going to speak on my behalf. And none of that rubbish, because it's just not reality.
It's noise. It's white noise.
Absolutely.
Silence the muffle. It's like when you're performing, I'm sure it's the same on Strictly, pre-COVID times, when you've got an audience and there's the excitement and the energy and the exhilaration in the crowd.
But you just focus on your thing. Yeah.
Exactly.
That's what I do. I just focus on the positive stuff in my life and the truth and the reality and people around me, like the real people. None of that noise, like you said. So, and I think everybody should kind of remember that, like, we're all just normal people, real people with real stories, and you don't know their full story. Like, you cannot judge them by certain things.
Let's get into the sort of routine of dancing full-time on the show, because physically it must be exhausting. How do you do it, turn up day after day after day with, like, do you have one day off or...
Well, we do on paper, but it's not really a day off because you've got to choreograph your next dance. So yes, we work as Strictly Season starts, Monday to Saturday, it's like full on teaching, dancing, choreographing, physical activity. And then Sunday, which is our day off, you're preparing for Monday to start again.
Yeah, and that's mad. So the mental preparation for on Sunday is probably almost tougher for you, because you've got to come up with something
exactly
to deliver.
Because you've got to turn up on Monday morning and teach it to your celeb immediately. Like, there's no time. But I literally, I may be a little crazy, but I cannot wait for this time because I love it so much.
Oh, cool.
I literally, like, now that it's been so long that we've not danced, I crave that muscle ache and I want my feet to bleed, you know,
like, bleeding feet.
Yeah, and like my mind to explode from like coming up with all these ideas. I just absolutely love it, and I think this is so important for anybody to do what they love.
Yeah,
you know, and because when you do what you love, it's not work. It's
no, that's
not
so good.
I can dance in the rehearsal room hours after hours after. You cannot drag me out. And people say, oh, where do you get motivation? That is my motivation.
You're
like,
doing
my
what you love.
Work is my motivation.
Oh, that is so cool.
And also, like, again, I'm a quote competitive. And I kind of like take pride in like walking away and saying, do you know what? I did that so bloody good.
Yes, girl.
You know, like you have to. Like if you're going to do something, do it properly.
Yeah.
There's this thing in Russian my mom always says to me, like do it good because you don't have to make effort to do it badly.
No.
So
no.
If you're going to do something,
do it well.
Do it well, you know.
Turn up and deliver. Delving into choreography, I've experienced firsthand, just with some crazy TikTok dance, your ability to dissect physical movements and put them into layman's terms. Someone like me, literally, I do have two left feet. You've had your fair share of candidates
yep.
that have had two left feet.
I did.
How have you discovered this pattern of teaching people that have no idea how to dance? To break it down so simply, like, what's the secret behind that?
You know, I was taught first for the period of my career, and then I started teaching myself. And I've realized how much I love teaching.
Cool.
And I just love seeing people succeed and go from, like, nothing to doing these amazing dances.
Even build a castle. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Results of my work, guys.
I honestly, like, that was like a minefield to me. But you use...
I use language that you can connect to.
And the numbers.
And
the numbers game.
Exactly. Maps, you see? It's everywhere. I just analyze it and break it down to normal people. If I'm going to speak dance language to you, or like Russian now, you would not understand me. It's
no,
the
I wouldn't
same.
Have a clue.
Exactly. So I try as much as possible to sort of come back to myself and think, what would make sense to me, to like not a dancer, Katya?
Yeah.
And through analysing that, I try to translate it to you. But also, each person learns differently, you know?
Yeah, true.
Some people have no idea on counts or numbers or music, so you have to make like weird noises and stuff. I do, like if you hear me in the rehearsal room, it's just like cha cha shoo, cha cha shoo, cha cha boom, you know, all these things. You have to find ways that work for each person. And I also have this thing where I call like aggressive positivity.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you can do it. You will.
I love that.
I believe in you. Like, I do not give up on anybody. Like,
really?
I just don't give up on anybody. Because I just see, even if I see like a tiny little seed in there that, yes, I think we can get there, I would not let go. Like, until you get
there's
it right.
There's like a sense of belief there. So on Monday Mile, we really do like to keep things positive because it's the start of the week, but also real. And let's be honest, this past year or dance season has probably not gone the way that you had hoped it would. You were partnered with Nicola Adams. It's the first ever same-sex female dance partner. And you guys were onto one. That was taken away from you right before you were due to essentially rewrite history.
You know what? It was history, you know, in making whatever, the first ever same-sex partnership. And I was so, so excited because of my like creativity, and I wanted to see what I can do with it. And I think we did smash it. Like, I really do believe we did such a good job, and her message was delivered, you know.
I mean, 100%.
Which was beautiful to see, and for me to be part of that, and like being accepted also in this community, like, it's so much fun, you know? And to work with, honestly, I can say, I've never worked with someone, like non-dancer or celebrity, with the mind and like agility and dexterity that she had. Yeah. Like, unbelievable. Like, her brain is unreal, honestly.
Olympic like, champion, right?
Yeah, exactly. So
made up of different stuff.
I could throw anything at her, and the way she digests it.
Really?
And just brings it straight, like, into reality is I just unbelievable. So yeah, it wasn't the perfect end for us, COVID.
No. And now the Strictly tour has been cancelled, so it's sort of like a double blow. How do you pick yourself back up after, you know, such a rough period?
Well, I like to find things that, you know, I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only way we're gonna get up in the morning and do something. So I love my sustainability and my recycling, you know,
upcycling. Tell us a bit more about that.
It was a journey.
Yeah.
You know, I only came to sort of this place in the last 2 years, I'd say.
Yeah.
Where just by learning more and hearing things, educating myself, I was like, right, I think this is something I connect to and I really believe to, and I think I want to stick to this. And it's been the most easy, actually, thing to like stick to. Like, I've done over a year of not shopping, like not buying anything
at
all. Yeah, no new. I don't think I bought anything. It was July 2019, July 2020. I didn't like buy a single thing.
Like items of clothing.
But I think I ended up buying completely nothing at all.
What?
I said clothing, but yeah.
That is madness. That's like, because again, that's one of those things.
Food. I did eat.
No, but you know, like, again, right? So many subjects in what we do, you sort of touch on them. You brush past them, but I'm sorry, like, let's take that back a second. You didn't buy any clothes.
Mm.
Like, how about your food shopping? How did you go about, like, avoiding certain items? Like, have you got any little tips or hacks that people can take away to, you know, maybe approach this journey or even see?
Oh, because definitely.
How do you start it? Like, it's not accessible if you don't know about it.
No, and they don't make it easy accessible. That's another thing. So for me, yeah, to research and look into things, and I realized that it's a massive, massive issue.
Yeah.
It's a global, another pandemic, but it's in the little things that you can do. You know, and everybody is engaging more and more with it, even taking, you know, your reusable coffee cups, your water bottles, just being aware of the plastic that you use. Let me educate you then a little bit. Now, just give you tips, like things like cling film, for example.
Yeah.
Per year in the UK, they use that much cling film that you can wrap a planet 3 times.
That is disgusting.
Do you know what I mean? Like, little things like that. Just cover it with a plate. Put it in a container. You don't have to use cling film. You know,
actually, be honest, I've not used cling film probably in a year.
You probably don't cook. Am I right?
No, I do. I do a bit of mindful chef.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, bit of salmon, bit of veg, lid on top. Yeah, yeah. And there's like, there is less plastic there. And it comes in
food wastage as well.
It comes in a cardboard box, which you can recycle.
Yeah.
So I'm doing a little bit. But yeah, I need to up my game. And I'll admit that there's definitely room to improve.
Little things.
I think my clothing shopping habit might be a problem.
But listen, like, you can donate these things or
charity shop.
Charity shops, good.
I feel like I'm guilty now.
No, but always like ask yourself, like, this is how I, you know, doing the whole year of not buying anything wasn't to stop everyone else from buying it. It's just to change that mentality. Do I really need that? I moved houses last year. And when I saw actually physically the amount of stuff that I had, it made me disgusted almost. Like, honestly.
Yeah.
The people who were moving, they were like, we've never seen so much stuff.
Really?
Yeah, honestly.
So why do you think you had so much stuff? Just like
it's just
years of living
else.
In London.
Well, I moved from Hampshire to London.
Right.
And it's just like everyone else. It's so accessible. You click, 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 click on all these fast fashion websites. It's at your door next morning.
Yeah, it's
like,
madness.
It's so easy.
You don't even have to go anywhere.
Exactly. Where to do sustainable shopping or sustainable food shopping, it's a lot more harder. It's a lot more expensive. You have to actually look for things. So they're not making it easy for us. So I really wish all this information becomes a little bit more accessible for people. Like, nobody even knows what plastic goes where. Like, you have to actually look for, did you know there's like 7 different grades of plastic?
Wow.
That either they're recyclable or not. And you have to like look for it. Nobody knows. No one else. So I really want this to be a bit more accessible for everyone.
So if people follow your page, Instagram, Katya,
yeah,
Jones.
I do lots of upcycling stuff.
And they can take a few tips, tricks and hacks from there.
Absolutely, absolutely. And remember, it's just about little things. Little things.
Nice.
It's not about... Of course I want to change the world. Who doesn't?
No, but if everyone takes one small step in the right direction, it makes it more accessible. And if everyone did one little thing globally, it would make a huge difference, right?
Exactly, exactly. And it's not being afraid to say, you know what, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. We still like drive cars or doing this. It's okay to say that. But do some one little action today that takes you on that journey, you know?
Love that. Let's delve into your routine a little bit at the minute. You've just come from PT. What are the sort of physical attributes that you need as a dancer to be able to turn up day after day and perform? Like, do you train? Is that important? You're off to the spa? Is that your recovery or is that a little social?
Well, do you know what? Again, there's a lot of expectation comes from public being the dancer on, you know, on television, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's not easy also mentally to keep up. For example, like, I enjoyed my Christmas. It was a great time, yeah. You know. I sort of, after hard work of Strictly and... Like, we all gained a bit of weight. And then, like, seeing comments like, oh, glad to see her losing a bit of weight.
What?
Because she
You're tiny.
Was looking a bit chunky.
And
what? It's like...
That is disgusting. That is disgusting.
I went from size 6 to size 8 and you're calling me chunky? So mentally, it's not an easy place to be because you are
in
expected to be that certain shape that represents a dancer, you know. However, again, I just try to look inside.
Yeah.
And yeah, I had that period and I loved it. I loved socializing with friends. I enjoyed my Christmas when we went, like, I had the cake, I made the cake and fact.
Yes.
You know, it made me happy.
You're really good at baking. I've seen one of your cakes. That's not just a normal cake. That's like got some bells and whistles and some other stuff going on there.
She didn't know how it tastes. It looked amazing. I'm really good at making it look extraordinary, but nobody knows what's inside. Cover it up, you know, fluff it up.
I think I'd had a couple of drinks by that point. So
it looked amazing in your eyes.
Yeah.
So yeah, I try to just do what is good for me, and I know when I'm healthy and I'm fit, I'm energized. You know, energy creates energy, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. It's like, oh, I'm a big believer of surrounding yourself by positive people, and if you're all operating at that same vibration,
bam,
it just works.
Exactly.
It's good.
It bounces and it generates even more.
But you have to be in the right space by looking after yourself to be in that space in the first place, I think, which is something I've really learned since coming away from my sport, suddenly realising, like, right, actually, you know, I do need to keep up my yoga and eat well.
But you
well
have to find the true
balance.
Reason.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Also
and it comes down to the root.
Correct. It's not because somebody looked at you and said that you've put on weight. It's not because of that. You just have to dig deeper and be like, it makes me happy. I'm going to feel so good. And that's why I do it. Like, I come out of the gym and I'm like, damn, I've achieved something, you know?
Damn, I'm feeling strong, I'm feeling good. And you're like, ready to go, ready to attack.
Ready for the day, you know? Ready to, like,
that feeling,
conquer the world.
We had quite an early start today and we've sort of done 2 days back to back. And I was just like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my yoga. And it was like...
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Yes!
It was like a 6:30 start, which is not like super early, but we've been traveling up and down the country. And I just know that even if I can do 25 minutes, it will make me feel better and start the day strong.
I don't know a single person who finished a workout or anything at all, walk and went, oh, I wish I never did that.
Like, that just doesn't happen.
No, exactly.
Okay, and just lastly, because I feel like we've probably walked really far and you've got a spa date. So, Katya, on Monday Mile, of course, we have to ask every guest, what is their relationship with the start of the week, Monday?
Oh, do you know what? I love Mondays.
I love Mondays.
Not every guest likes a Monday. Why do you like Mondays?
Well, look, we get a chance every week to get up and do something better, or to improve yourself, or to take on a new challenge. Like, you get a chance every single week all over again. Like, how exciting is that? And because I love to look on the positive side.
Me too.
That's how I see it.
Like, life is for living.
Right?
And reset, you get up, if you need to.
Yeah, and if you fail that week, fine, I'll get another Monday, and then I get another Monday. And that's amazing. We get so many chances.
So good. Katia Jones, thank you so much for joining us for Monday Mile. That is a wrap. It's a new week. It's Monday. I think it's time to seize the day.
We definitely got our steps in.
Let's go. Monday Mile listeners, it is a wrap. What an episode that was. Katia Jones really, really feeling those positive vibrations. Good energy. I am so ready to start this week strong. I wanted to say a massive thank you to each and every one of you that has been here right from the start. We're on season 2 now, and I wanted to say, yeah, just a massive thank you for supporting this journey. I'm absolutely loving it, and I would be ever so grateful if you do subscribe, give us a rating in the podcast apps, and you know what? We're going to see you next week.